This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And as mentioned, our first story this hour is about the verdict of the SRC International trial involving Datuk Sri Najib Razak. We've been covering it in our news bulletins, and also our colleagues on The Bigger Picture, for example, also covered it earlier today. And the former Prime Minister has been found guilty of all 7 criminal charges. These charges include abuse of power, criminal breach of trust and money laundering. And this is for the misappropriation of 42 million ringgit in funds from SRC International. So Dato' Sri Najib goes down in history as the first former Prime Minister to be charged and convicted in Malaysia. Kuala Lumpur High Court Judge Mohamed Nazlan Mohamed Ghazali delivered the verdict to a packed courtroom. And he said that the prosecution has successfully proven its case beyond any reasonable doubt against the accused. Justice Nazlan also addressed the corruption and money laundering charges. The defence had earlier argued that Najib had received money as a donation from Saudi Arabia, specifically from the late King Abdullah Abdul Aziz Al Saud. On this, the judge said that the accused could have picked up his phone to verify the donation. He also added that Najib did not communicate with either officials in Riyadh or the foreign ministry here. So after this, we are going to be crossing over directly to Cynthia Gabriel, who is the human rights advocate at C4, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. If you have any questions for Cynthia, any thoughts you would like to ask, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:11 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are going to be spending this hour looking at the verdict of the SRC International trial involving Datuk Sri Najib Razak. As has been mentioned, the former Prime Minister has been found guilty of all 7 criminal charges. We are waiting to see whether there will be a sentence announced today. As and when that happens, we'll let you know. But in the meantime, we're going to first be talking about corruption as a whole and what the impact of this verdict is. And then after that, we're going to be doing a little more political analysis. So first up, joining us on the line is Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at C4, or the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so first question, what did you make of this verdict and was it something that you expected?
Well, it's an incredible verdict, not something we expected at all, mainly because there's been so many changes politically in the last couple of months. It was really difficult to even imagine something like this. So we'd like to really applaud the very brave judgment that was meted out today. And it's actually very historic as well, because it is the first time, really the first time, that a former prime minister has been convicted mainly of power abuse. And this is really very essential. Of course, money laundering and a criminal breach of trust. But I'd just like to say that the whole issue of abuse of power while in public office is something which is completely historic, completely unprecedented, and something that people who are holding power in office today must be really, really very careful now about how they deal with businesses, with money, and the nexus that comes between business and politics. It has very, very strong implications on the way in which Malaysian politicians actually operate in positions of power. So it's an amazing judgment, one that was set in context of a change of government and the fact that UMNO is also now back in power and so on. So to be convicted on 7 charges is actually quite an amazing judgment.
And did anything in particular stand out to you in the judgment that was delivered by Justice Mohamed Nazlan Mohamed Ghazali?
Yes, as I was just saying, the one that stood out the most was the conviction on abuse of power. This is Section 23 of the MECC Act as well, in which abuse of power is very clearly outlined for personal gratification. And I think in the very lengthy judgment that was read out today, it was pretty clear that the judgment did not at all tolerate the fact that the accused was using on the basis of ignorance, not knowing about the money being backed into the account and so on and so forth. So as the most powerful head of state, the message has become very clear that corruption has become so endemic, so entrenched, that the highest levels of people in power are not actually able to demonstrate integrity and promote integrity as they should, and to be examples of people. So it actually took a lot of courage, boldness, and risk, personal risk and security of people who blew the whistle, people who exposed the corruption during the time of his tenure as prime minister. And knowing that he's abusing his powers, there was countless numbers of harassments, people being brought to the police stations, etc. A number of people who were sued, MPs, media, whistleblowers in general. I mean, there was just so much harassment. So I think this issue of power abuse must be taken really very, very seriously. And how it's actually linked to corruption is a very interesting factor that has never been demonstrated in the country. And today it has.
And looking at the other figures that are named in this particular trial, so people like Joe Lo, Nick Faisal, Arif Kamil, you know, what happens to them now?
Well, some of them are still on the run. So I think it has become quite imperative now that they are all part of the guilty circle of players and enablers who actually played very active roles in committing such grand-scale corruption. So there should be a very serious hunt to bring them back to Malaysia. And it is, I must say, quite disappointing that after so many announcements of trying to bring Joe Lo back, there is still no indication of where he is or what is the situation with him in terms of bringing him back to face justice and so on and so forth. So this is a calling, a real sign now that the convictions have taken place and those persons who are involved must actually come home and answer for their part in the whole process.
So for those who have believed and have said that these charges were politically motivated, that it had something to do with political persecution, how do you think this verdict will land? Do you see it changing or influencing those beliefs?
Well, I don't think so. I think they will still maintain that it's politically motivated. There was a huge crowd today at the court that was charging that it was a politically motivated trial. And I believe that there may be further narratives in this direction because Najib has that opportunity to appeal at the Court of Appeal. And that's probably going to be a very lengthy process and a process that will take time. And so there are many things that can happen in politics. And everyone says that one day is actually too long in politics and anything can happen, many things can change and so on. So I just do not think that any amount of influence can change their beliefs. In fact, there may even be an increase in harassment on social media, on people who actually speak up against the verdict and what it would actually mean. But I think this is where the challenge really is, because speaking up against corruption, exposing corruption, has many risks that come with it. And I don't believe the process is actually ended. It's just amazing today that justice was served, has been served. And despite that, we also have to be prepared that the appeal process could be something which could be rather hostile on social media and otherwise. And it's something that the Malaysian people must keep demanding for accountability and encouraging the judicial institutions to remain impartial and to carry out their work with integrity.
And with four more trials to go addressing the other charges, where do you see this heading?
Well, everything is in the details, but I think this is a very solid, strong judgment, which does not compromise on many of the defense arguments about ignorance, about not being able to know, but not being informed, etc., and not confirming even with the source of donations, which is the Arab donors and so on, where the money was coming from. It appears that there has been real power abuse. So if it was actually demonstrated clearly and he was convicted for this in the SRC case, then there's even more evidence that's being churned out in court for 1MDB and several of the other ongoing trials that are taking place, including that of the audit report and so on. So I think it's, I'd like to remain optimistic and positive, despite knowing that there have been many cases, politically inclined cases, that get overturned at higher courts and so on. But we just hope that the facts will present itself, and that there's sufficient evidence to actually show grand corruption. And we're talking about grand corruption. I mean, this is really major. The amount of money that was siphoned off and stolen actually ran into billions of ringgit. We're not talking millions anymore, but billions of ringgit. And so it also took a whole change of government for us to arrive at this process. So, which means that there is a will of the Malaysian people to reject corrupt politicians. And that message must resonate, especially knowing that we could be facing another snap elections very soon. This must be the message that Malaysian people must tell all persons who want to stand for elections and who want to actually represent their constituents, that corruption is actually not something that is welcome in Malaysia. And I think that is really a very powerful message to actually impart to politicians. And hopefully that will be the direction in which all the other cases will take as well.
And with that said, and you've mentioned and talked about the significance of this decision, how do you see this changing the way we think about corruption here in the country, you know, not just on the grand scale, but all across?
Well, I think the grand scale is an indication of how entrenched corruption is across all levels of government. We have massive complaints at local government level, state, federal, and it's become so entrenched that we actually find the situation quite overwhelming. And what is really needed is a strong, impartial, independent MACC, free of politics, free of executive interference, that must be able to actually investigate all these cases without fear and without favor. Now, we haven't gotten there yet. And I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done to reform the laws, to promote even stronger institutions that can independently investigate this corruption. The levels of impunity when it comes to power abuse and corrupt practices have become so endemic that it's actually, it was a rallying call of Pakatan Harapan when they won the 2018 general elections. But we realized that it takes a lot of processes and efforts, mindset change, etc., to actually weed out corruption altogether. A huge problem in the country, and we definitely need to instill more checks and balances. We need Parliament to be more efficient. We need a strong MACC, and we need most of all to separate the roles of the Attorney General and the Public Prosecutor. It's really, really essential that we have independent, strong institutions that can provide accountability to the Malaysian people. So if anything, the judgment today must serve as a strong message that it's major, major, really enormous call by the judiciary today that they will not also tolerate corporate fraud, or the nexus between business and politics can no longer be taken lightly, that it is something that needs a whole lot of scrutiny, a whole lot of tracking, monitoring, and checks and balances to ensure integrity, better transparency, and so on.
Cynthia, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at C4, that is the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, talking to us about the verdict that we heard today, again, of the SRC International Trial involving Datuk Sri Najib Razak. If you would like to weigh in or give us any observations or questions you might have, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and you can also tweet us at BFM Radio, where we have a poll running. And again, the poll is now at 300 votes. We've been asking, in light of today's verdict, do you feel optimistic about Malaysia's efforts in fighting corruption? We just heard from Cynthia Gabriel. She sounded optimistic. And so far, 50.3% are saying yes with reservations. Meanwhile, 31.3% are saying no, long way to go, while 18% are saying, yep, we are on the right path. So, where do you land on that? You can let us know. Again, our Twitter is at BFM Radio. You can tweet us. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We are going to be talking after the 6:30 news to Ben Sufian, who is the program director at Merdeka Centre, to get his take on the political ramifications of this decision. We will also keep you updated on the issue of the sentence, which we have not yet heard. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.